We turn in God's Word this morning to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. This is God's holy and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. On the basis of that passage and others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50. Question and answer 125. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved congregation, our Lord Jesus Christ, how important is bread? Bread here meaning all of the physical, earthly things that our bodies need. How important is bread? Well, without bread, there is no earthly life. Bread is necessary to sustain earthly life. And so bread has a certain physical, earthly importance. But really, after all, how important is bread? Bread does not sustain our spiritual life. As our Lord himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Bread cannot sustain our spiritual life. Bread cannot bring us to heaven. Bread is merely a physical thing, an instrument in God's hand to sustain our earthly life. But bread does not bring us to heaven. So how important, after all, is bread? And we might be inclined to say this morning, well, bread isn't that important at all, and do we have to waste an entire Sunday morning learning about bread? Let's learn about the bread of life instead. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, our Lord himself taught us to make an entire petition in the Lord's Prayer, a petition about bread. There are only six of them, six brief petitions. And an entire one of them, the Lord told us to pray about bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And look at the place of that petition. It's the fourth petition. It's not even the last of the six. It's the fourth. this petition comes before the petition about forgiveness. This petition comes before the petition about sanctification. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread is important. Bread has a spiritual significance after all. And the importance of bread is not to be found in the bread itself. That would be a grievous mistake. If this morning we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then set our hearts on the bread. Rather, the importance of bread is that it points us to the provider of that bread, the giver of that bread, so that we would draw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in God. And that means when we consider daily bread, we are, after all, considering the bread of life, aren't we? Because our hearts are not set on the things of this earth by the grace of God, but we look to our Savior and we look for the blessing of God, the love of God, the grace of God, in which grace He also gives us exactly what we need according to His knowledge of what we need. There is significance to bread because our hearts are lifted up this morning to focus on the provider of that bread. And so we consider this fourth petition under the theme, give us this day our daily bread, using the theme itself as our, or using the prayer itself as our theme. In the first place, consider what. In the second place, consider how. How does God give us bread? And then in the third place, consider why. Give us this day our daily bread. What, how, and why? When we get into this first point now, the what of give us this day our daily bread, we find that each of the words in that petition is like a trampoline. And each of those words launches us into a lofty consideration of the works of God. So we're going to take each of those words, not in order, but by the end of this first point, we'll have seen all of these words and been launched by them, by God's grace, into a consideration of His works and His glory. Let's begin with the last word in the petition, give us this day our daily bread. What is bread? Bread refers to all of the earthly physical needs that we have. Bread is an earthly word, and it refers to earthly things. The Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes that when it says in answer 125, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. In the fourth petition, we are praying about the needs of our bodies. Give us this day our daily bread. But the Lord used the word bread specifically because bread is not excess. Bread is not luxury. Bread is the basics. Bread is the staple. Bread is the very basic thing that we need for life. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for the necessities of the body. We are not asking God to give us the luxuries of this earth. And the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes that when it says, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. A prayer for necessities. That reminds us of what was written in Proverbs 30, where Eger said, give me neither poverty nor riches. If I have poverty, then I might curse thee. If I have riches, I might forget thee. He specifically prayed, don't give me the luxuries and the riches of this earth. But certainly when we pray the fourth petition, we are not asking God for above and beyond our basic earthly needs. Give us this day our daily bread. But we learn more about God from this word bread, because this prayer for bread is still a huge prayer. We may not be asking God for luxuries, but we are asking Him for a lot when it comes to bread. We're not only asking for the food that we need, the one meal that we need today, or the three meals that we need today. We're not only asking Him for those things that we take in by our mouth, the drink that we need for today, but we're asking Him for everything that's necessary for this earthly life. We're asking Him for shelter from the bitterly cold temperatures. We're asking Him for clothing to cover our bodies. We're asking Him for a job by which we may earn a paycheck and go to the grocery store and buy things. We are asking for God to provide a good growing season for the farmers. We are asking God to provide medicine when we are sick. Our bread refers to all things that our bodies need, and we are fragile creatures. Our bodies need much. And so the Catechism says, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Give us this day our daily bread. What a huge petition. One that we rattle off quite easily. We're so familiar with it. One that seems maybe lesser than the others because it's only about earthly things. But what a huge request. Give us all things necessary for our bodies. And then the third thing that we learn from this word bread is that our Heavenly Father has an interest in our earthly life. Our Heavenly Father is concerned for our bodies. We're used to thinking about God's concern for our souls, for our spirits, for our heart. But in this petition, God teaches us, I am concerned also for your body. And I want you to come to me and ask for things for your body. I want you to ask for bread because I love that body that I gave you. So much do I love that body that I gave you that I redeemed that body through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our redemption through Christ on the cross is not only the redemption of our souls. It is that. All of the sins and iniquities of our souls are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. But the death of our Lord Jesus Christ is also the redemption of our bodies, so that our bodies, feeling the ravages of sin and the ravages of the curse, our bodies getting sick and dying because of sin, are redeemed from that death, so that none of our sickness and none of our death is a punishment against our sins. Our death has become only a servant by which God takes us to heaven. But God has redeemed our bodies through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a demonstration that our bodies have been redeemed, the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the third day as the pledge and promise that our bodies also will rise from the dead. God loves our bodies and has redeemed our bodies. And when we pray for bread for our bodies, we remember the love of God in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first trampoline to launch us into the consideration of God. Let's go to the second trampoline, the second phrase in here. Let's look at the words, this day. Give us this day our daily bread. When our Lord teaches us to pray for bread for this day, He is teaching us not to pray for tomorrow's needs and the needs of the rest of the week and the rest of our lives. We are not called to pray for tomorrow. We are called to pray only for today. This word emphasizes again the strict necessities that we have. We're not even praying for breakfast tomorrow. We're praying only for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the rest today. Give us this day our daily bread. Now that raises the question, is it wrong to prepare for the future? This is not a prayer about the future. We're not to pray for bread for tomorrow. We're to pray for bread for today. And so is it wrong to prepare for the future? Is it wrong to make sure that We have enough in the bank account in order to go through some tough times, perhaps? Or is it okay to think about the next generation even, so that our children and our grandchildren can be provided for? Is it wrong to think about and plan for the future? And the answer of the Word of God is that it is certainly not wrong to plan for the future. In fact, it is right to do that. Proverbs even says that a wise man provideth an inheritance for his children's children. And especially the inheritance that is being described there is the spiritual inheritance, so that grandpas and grandmas are concerned about the spiritual welfare of their children. They leave a spiritual inheritance for them in their example, in their support of the Christian schools, and in all of the other ways that grandpas and grandmas provide for their grandchildren. But it teaches that spiritual inheritance under the figure of an earthly inheritance. The Word of God commends and recommends preparing for the future. What we are not to do, however, is worry about the future. And that's the force of this petition as well when we pray, "This day, give us this day our daily bread." We are not to worry about it and fret about it and be concerned that maybe tomorrow I won't have enough and the bank account balance has dropped so low that I don't know what would happen if we have an emergency in the family of some kind. As Jesus taught in Matthew 6, "Take no thought for the morrow, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor what yet what ye shall put on, all earthly things. For your Father in heaven knoweth that ye have need of these things." You may prepare for the future, but don't worry about the future. Don't be concerned about it with fear and trepidation, but instead turn up your face to the heavens and pray to Father, "Give us this day our daily bread." Tomorrow will take care of itself. Or better, the Lord will take care of us tomorrow, however He has planned. But this day, give us our daily bread. The next words to consider to launch us into the knowledge of God and His works is the words "we" and "our," or "us" rather, and "our." Give us this day our daily bread. Those words teach us that when we pray for our needs, we may not pray selfishly, but we must pray with love for our brethren in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are praying for them as much as we are praying for ourselves. Give to us, to all of us in this church, this day, our daily bread. It's very easy to become selfish when we think about our physical needs. Do I have enough? Will I be provided for? But the Lord teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Will my brother have enough? Will he be provided for? These words, "us" and "our," therefore launch us into the whole calling and realm of the diaconate within the Church of Jesus Christ. Because when I pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," that means I'm also praying, "Father, give to my poor brother in the church this day his daily bread too." And how will that brother have his daily bread today? Well, God could drop that bread out of the sky if he wants to, the way he did with Elijah at the brook Cherith, as the ravens dropped the food out of the sky, so to speak, to Elijah morning and evening. God could drop the food out of the sky to my poor brother in the church. But we know that that's not how God is normally pleased to operate. Normally, God uses means and instruments, the means and instruments of the other brethren in the church. And so when I pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," I am committing myself to giving to that benevolent offering. I am committing myself to providing for the poor in his need so that his daily bread is provided to, as I have prayed to God, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that reminds the deacons of the high calling that they have within the Church of Jesus Christ. God has been pleased to devote an entire petition to bread. And He has given an entire office in the church to providing bread, the physical necessities of those who have needs within the church. Now, the deacon's work is much broader than that. The deacons also bring a comfortable word from Scripture to point those who receive the bread to the giver of the bread, to the mercy that He has for us in Jesus Christ. But God has given us this office in the church for the provision of those who are in need. Let us thank God for the office of deacons and thank Him for faithful men to serve in that office and pray for them in their work. Give us this day our daily bread. And then those words, "we and our," also remind us who are in need to receive the mercies of Christ provided through His church. That's maybe the hardest part about all of this, to receive the help of the deacons. We like to give. We wish we could give. But to receive somehow makes us feel inadequate, perhaps. Or makes us feel that we are taking advantage of the church, perhaps. That's not the right way to look at receiving when we need to receive. We are praying to God, give us this day our daily bread. And the way He may be pleased to provide this day is through the help of all of the rest of the church, so that He answers that prayer this way today through the work of the deacons. Give us this day our daily bread. Then the fourth trampoline, so to speak, in the petition is that word daily. Daily. Let's look at that word. Daily sounds redundant. It sounds like a repetition of this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily is not simply repeating, give us bread this day. Rather, daily has the idea of the appointed, appropriate portion. The appointed appropriate portion. We use that word daily something like that when we talk about a daily vitamin. A daily vitamin. And sometimes when we use that word daily vitamin, we're thinking, well, it's a vitamin I take each day. But the idea of that daily vitamin is that in that one pill is all of the vitamins and minerals, the proper appointed portion of vitamins and minerals that you need for this day. It's the appointed amount, the proper portion. And so when we pray to God, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying, give us the amount You have appointed to us. And this launches us far, far into the heavens. This launches us into the counsel of Jehovah God Himself, His eternal, determinative counsel. From all eternity, Jehovah God has not only chosen who are to be His people, but from all eternity He has also appointed exactly what portion we would receive each day. Some days the portion He has appointed is large. It is much. Other days, the portion He has appointed might be very, very little. But God has appointed the portion for each day. And we are praying, God, give me that eternally determined portion. And now here's the key to this word daily. God alone knows what is the appropriate portion for today. We have our ideas about how much we need today, too. I think I need this much in order to live today. But God might say, no, you need far, far less than that in order to live today. God might even say to us, the proper portion for you today is so little that you will starve. Or the portion for you today is so little health that you will die in your illness. Jehovah God knows exactly the amount that we need. Because when Jehovah considers our needs, He is not looking at our earthly life as the goal. That's never the goal. That's not the goal of our creation. That's not the goal of our redemption. That's not the goal of eternity. It's not our earthly life. Our earthly life is only the sojourn. It's only this temporary time that we walk upon this earth until the Lord receives us to heaven and the goal is reached of His glory and our perfect final salvation. That's the goal of God. And He knows exactly how much of this earth's goods we need today in order for that goal to be served. What a beautiful word. What a lofty thought we pray when we pray daily bread. Father, whatever is necessary for me today to glorify Thee and to reach the goal of Thy honor in my salvation, give to me today. Give us this day our daily bread. And then the final word for us to look at in this petition is give. Give us this day our daily bread. That word give indicates that everything that God gives for our earthly physical life is a gift. It indicates the character of the food that we eat and the shelter that we have. It's a gift. And that's the word that's used in Lord's Day 50 as well. That neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts, everything that we have is a gift. And the significance of that is to teach us how to receive it all. How do we receive a gift? By saying to the person who gave it, well, that's all right. Or by saying, thank you. Thank you for that gift. You have given me something I didn't deserve. You have given me something I wasn't looking for. Thank you. I'm grateful to you for your gift. And that's the way we are to receive from God whatever He gives to us. Children. That means when mom serves dinner and it's not your favorite dinner. In fact, it's one that you don't particularly care for. Don't turn up your nose at dinner and say, oh, do I have to eat this? Don't complain about the gift that's been given, but rather turn your face to God in heaven and say, I know what this is. I know what this meal is. It's a gift from God. Thank you, God, for my daily bread. And thank you, Mom, for being the instrument to prepare that meal for me. And that's a word to children. But all of us have that lesson to learn over and over again. How many of God's gifts don't we receive and turn our noses up at and say, this isn't what I wanted? How prone aren't we to grumbling and complaining so that we get a little cold and say, I'm so sick of this cold, instead of saying, for the measure of health you have given me, thank you. I receive that as a great gift. Give, which means what we have received is a gift and are to be grateful for to our providing God. What a petition. What a deep, glorious, lofty petition. It's only about bread. But really it's about the giver of the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. But now in the second place, we face the question, how? How does God answer this petition and how does He give us our daily bread? In the first place, God gives us our bread through His sovereign provision of that bread. This is implied by the entire petition itself. Give us this day our daily bread. That petition means that everything we receive, we do receive from God. The marvelous, tremendous operation of God is on display. That's the viewpoint of Psalm 111, which we read. It magnifies the work of the Lord, including the work of the Lord to give us meat. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. The giving of meat to those who fear Him is one of the great and wonderful works of Jehovah God. By His sovereign power, He provides our daily bread. And now take that concept of bread, very simple, not something fancy, and consider the works of God to bring that one loaf of bread into existence. That loaf of bread God doesn't give in the space of a few hours or a day, but He gives it through an entire season of a crop of wheat growing in the field. He gives it through the gift of the farmer who plants that crop and tends that crop. He gives it through the gift of the harvesting of that crop and then the threshing of that crop and preparing of that crop until it's finally ground into flour. And then the baker takes over and takes that flour and prepares it just the right way, bakes it, puts it in the store. We go to the store and buy it and bring it home. What a huge operation to produce one little simple loaf of bread. The works of God are great, sought out of all of them that fear Him. And then multiply that by every other earthly physical gift that we have in this life. Open the fridge and take a look at just the top shelf. What did it take to provide all of those things just in the top shelf of the fridge? And what did it take just to provide one shelf of the pantry? And what did it take to provide just one suit of clothes in the closet? And what did it take to make just one wall in that house and then multiply it by all of the other things? And what does it take for us to draw one breath, which also is a gift of God, of daily bread, an earthly physical necessity? What a marvelous God we have! How tremendous are His works! And that's just for the physical. Just for the physical. And how much more wonderful are the works He has done to redeem our souls. Psalm 111 treats these things together. It calls all of these things the works of God. But in verse 5, when it talks about God giving meat unto them that fear Him, it ends that verse, He will ever be mindful of His covenant. What tremendous works of God to provide us a covenant home with Him forever. That work of God was not merely the guiding of the farmer in the field and the wheat as it grows and the baker in and his oven. But that work of God required the sending of His only begotten Son to the tree of the cross to die in our place that we might be given everlasting life. How wonderful are the works of this sovereign God sought out of them that fear Him. How does God give us daily bread? By His sovereign work. But in the second place, God gives us this daily bread through means, through instruments, through tools that He has ordained. We've mentioned a few of those instruments. We've talked about the field and the farmer and the oven and the baker and the grocery store and the vehicle to get there and all of the other instruments We don't sit at our tables waiting for the loaf of bread to drop from the sky on our plates, but there's all these instruments that God uses. It's His sovereign work from beginning to end, but He is pleased to use means in order to provide these things. The Heidelberg Catechism calls our attention to two of those means in particular: our care and our industry. That so everyone may attend, Lord's Day. And that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Our care and our industry. Our care refers to our stewardship of the things that God has given. We are not the owner of the things that we have been given. All of those things belong to God. But He has given us charge of those things. And we are answerable to Him for how we use these things. Our care in the use of these things. We mustn't be careless, wasteful in using the gifts that God has provided. That's a difficult calling in our day and age and in our society when there's so much of everything. When we have an abundance generally, it's easy then to be careless and to waste and to consider that that little bit that we have spoiled isn't really that important, rather than looking at every little bit that we have as a gift from our God to be used with care. And then there's our industry. God uses our industry to provide things. Industry means hard work. Our labor, we must be industrious. And children and young people, that's what you're learning, part of what you're learning in school right now. When you go to school, you're not only learning the facts of mathematics, you're not only learning the rules of the English language, but you're also learning industry. You're learning how to work hard. You're learning how to focus on the lessons that the teachers give and do the homework that they assign and study for the tests and the exams that are coming up this week. You're learning industry. You're learning hard work. And we adults are called also to be industrious, hard workers. That doesn't mean that we give ourselves to our work. That doesn't mean that we let work become an idol for us so that we neglect our families, neglect our callings in the church. But in the calling that the Lord has given us, we are to labor faithfully, knowing that this is an instrument that God uses to provide us with our daily bread. Never does daily bread depend on care or industry. All things depend on God, even our daily bread. But our care and industry is an instrument that God uses to provide these things to us. How does God provide? By His sovereign power and through the means that He has appointed, including our care and industry. And that leads us to the third point and the question, why? Why does God give us daily bread? The Catechism has big answers. Not only is this the longest part of the Heidelberg Catechism answer here, but this is also the significant part of the Catechism answer. The first reason that God gives us daily bread is that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. When God provides bread, that leads to worship. That's what the Catechism is describing here. Our acknowledging God to be the only fountain of all good. That doesn't mean in the first place that we're acknowledging it to each other. God gave me this bread, although we may do that. But that means we're acknowledging it to Him. Thou, Father, art the only fountain of all good. That's worship. That's praise. That's honor. When we see that everything we have, even physical needs, come from God, we honor Him, we worship Him. And what's the content of that worship? That we may acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. the source from which I receive my bread is not my right arm. God may have given us strong right arms that we may labor in the calling He has given us, but the source of my bread is not my right arm. The source of my bread is not the government, and whatever measures a government may take to provide bread for its population. The source of my bread is none other than Jehovah God. He's the only fountain of all good. The second reason God provides bread is so that we acknowledge that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. We are looking for the blessing of God. And the blessing of God does not mean more things. We sometimes talk that way. We sometimes say God has really blessed me this year because my business flourished well. Well, we understand what we mean when we talk that way, but the concept of blessing is something different than all of these things. We're looking for the blessing of God, which is His gracious, loving gift to us of salvation. That's His blessing. It's His speaking well of us. It's His speaking salvation to us. We are looking for the blessing of God, according to the Heidelberg Catechism. And when we receive from the only fountain of all good, even this loaf of bread, even these physical necessities, then we are reminded He's also the only source of all salvation, so that we seek from Him ultimately, not these temporary things, but seek from Him ultimately His blessing in Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting? And the Heidelberg Catechism's answer here, that God's gifts are distinct from God's blessing. Take a look at that answer again. When we receive bread from God, we acknowledge that not even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. The gift is one thing. The blessing is another. And our profit, our real profit, does not come from having the gift alone. The real profit comes from having the blessing of God. This is the Reformed answer to the theory of common grace. The theory of common grace teaches that God's gifts are His blessing. That His gifts are His grace. One of the points of the theory of common grace is that God must have a favor, a general love for all human beings, reprobate human beings too, because He gives them gifts, rain and sunshine. He gives them bread. That's a mistake. That's not the Reformed perspective. The gift is not the blessing, and the blessing is not in the gift. The gift and the blessing are distinct. And this is our answer as a Protestant Reformed Church to the theory of common grace. Let's look at Lord's Day 50 and see that the gifts that God gives are no evidence of His love. How do we know the love of God? What's the evidence of His love? What's the measure of that love? Not how much stuff we have, but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There the blessing of God is found. Not even God's gifts profit us without His blessing. And then in the third place, and finally, the reason that God gives us bread is that therefore we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. This is faith. This trust is faith. When God gives us bread, we learn to withdraw our trust from every other creature in this earth and place it alone in God. For bread, but for all the gifts of salvation too. It's so easy for us to trust the things of this earth. But by praying day in and day out, give us this day our daily bread, we learn to believe in God alone and trust in Him alone for even these things. And so, beloved, how important is bread? Well, bread isn't the goal. Bread isn't the end. But when we pray to God for bread, we are taught to put our trust in Him and in Him alone. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts and apply it that we may love Thee, the giver of bread, and not merely because Thou hast provided some things for this earth, but because we acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. And we acknowledge that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing, and we want Thy blessing in Jesus Christ. And that we may withdraw our trust from ourselves and from every other creature and place it alone in Thee. And so we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 396, 396. In stanza 2, we sing, Thy creatures look to Thee for food from day to day supply, and Thou dost for their sustenance with open hand provide. The six stanzas, all six of 396. Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.